Where will the oil of tomorrow come from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, said today global demand for oil will be higher than what they earlier thought. That means prices are likely to stay high for a while. Saudi Arabia has promised to step up production for now, but who's going to produce oil in the years to come? Marketplace's Jeff Horwich is here with one answer that has a lot of people talking this morning. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Steve.
All right, if we need more oil, wouldn't option number one be the Middle East?
Yeah, you might think so. And it's not like the Middle East and other OPEC countries are about to run out of oil. But Samuel Chishuk of IHS Energy says, well, the Saudis do have some room to grow. The oil economies, by and large, have mostly tapped what there is to tap.
If you look beyond Saudi Arabia, there's very few countries in OPEC which actually have anything of significance to offer over the long term.
What we need, according to the International Energy Agency, is new discoveries and new exploration, and much of that will be here in the U.S. and Canada.
Well, what makes them think North America is going to step up and start supplying more of the world's oil, Jeff?
High prices, and that's what completes the logic here. IEA Director Nobuo Tanaka said this morning, we can expect $100 a barrel prices for a while.
Oil markets have seen surging demand growth in emerging markets, outstripping growth in supply and pushing prices higher.
High prices make our more expensive ways of getting oil more attractive. For the U.S., that means more exploration in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico. For Canada, it means extracting oil from the so-called oil sands in Alberta.
All right. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reporting for us this morning. Jeff, thanks.
You are welcome.
You heard Jeff talk about the oil sands. Well, those are the subject of a Senate committee hearing this week. Lawmakers are looking at whether the U.S. government should buy that controversial crude from Canada. Their question, how will it affect the environment? Now, if Washington ultimately says no, Ottawa could sell the oil to China instead. From the Canadian oil sands in Alberta, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
At Canadian oil company Cenovus, executive Drew Zickel-Gansberger knows that the U.S. is his chief market. And that's rough, since Americans are debating if Canadian crude is environmentally too dirty.
So right now we're standing on a well pad.
Zickel-Gansberger's answer, nah-uh.
And these trees around this well pad will never get disturbed because we're extracting their oil sands from underneath.
Critics say, yeah, but pumping Canadian oil takes lots of energy and therefore carbon emissions. Some argue it's the dirtiest oil on the planet.
The U.S. has some choices to make, whether they still want us to access their market. At the same time, though, we are also looking at other markets.
Like China. Political? No, it's rational business. For the next two decades, Asia will be the growth market. In fact, Canadian oil already goes there, industry consultant David Goldwyn.
Canada already has a Western export line, which brings oil by pipe to the West Coast. Oil also moves by rail.
More pipelines and deeper ports are under discussion in Canada, all going west.
We need to participate in global growth markets, not singular, stagnant markets.
That's Calgary economist Peter Terzakian. And yes, stagnant market is you and me. He figures U.S. demand peaked 5 years ago.
It is permanent. You can see it in the data. People are starting to drive a little bit less. And then importantly, people are buying more commonsensical vehicles.
Canada's China card is meant to provoke an emotional response. But economist Phil Verleger doesn't worry. He says if China buys Canadian crude, we will simply go somewhere else. And he thinks the risk of a big supply disruption is overdone.
The United States has a strategic reserve of 720 million barrels of crude oil, which provides us more security than we need for almost all occasions.
Whether that's right or not, one thing is clear. More of the world's oil will flow to Asia. In Alberta, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The markets are higher right now. The S&P and NASDAQ up nearly 0.5%. The Dow up 68 points at 11,965, inching closer toward that 12,000 mark. Fewer people sought first-time jobless benefits last week, according to the Labor Department. Groundbreaking on U.S. homes got a bump in May. Housing starts hit a five-month high. And the U.S. bought more things from other countries than sold to them. The nation's trade deficit widened in the first quarter with a jump in oil imports.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
The cable television industries converged on Chicago this week for its big yearly industry meetup. It's not exactly good times for cable, though. As Sally Herships explains, cable's not just under assault from the internet, it also has a money problem.
This statistic is getting a lot of play this week at the cable show.
The bottom 40% of U.S. households have already exhausted their disposable income.
Mark Robichaux is editor-in-chief of Multichannel News.
So there's not a whole lot left for clothing or for cable. You can't have a business if people can't afford your product.
That hasn't stopped the big cable operators from raising prices. Robichaux says the average subscription costs 30% more than it did 5 years ago. Kartik Hosanagar teaches internet media at Wharton. He says some cable industry execs have talked about offering lower cost options, but so far there's been little action.
It might change in the distant future, but it's not going to happen in the immediate future.
Hosanagar says first cable companies will need to accept that the old model is in danger. This week's downbeat meeting may have signaled a first step. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, last week, Google famously paid tribute to the late guitar giant Les Paul's birthday on its homepage, transforming the word Google into musical strings that people could record into a song. Well, soon versions of everything from Freebird to Stairway to Heaven started popping up on YouTube. Well, now website Extreme Tech says all that music making cost the world more than $268 million in lost productivity. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Waikiki Beach brings Hawaii about $2 billion in revenue every year. But like the beach's sandy stretches, that revenue is in danger of being washed away.
I look at it as triage. What beaches can we save for the next generation, and which beaches are going to be difficult to save?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Changing Climates, Disappearing Beaches, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.